former Blue Jays catcher, Josh Toley. Josh, how are you?
Brian, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm excited. Somehow, some way, your name popped up in an email. I'm like, hell yes, I want to talk to Josh Toley. What is going on? Where have you been? Last we saw you was catching baseballs for the Blue Jays a few years ago. How's life, man? Get us up to speed.
Yeah, life is good. I've actually, the last time you saw me, I was probably catching knuckleballs. And I've been bouncing around a few different teams, finished this last season with the Yankees at their alternate site, and now I'm living in upstate New York and just chasing after my three kids.
How wild was this season with, as you alluded to, alternate sites instead of the minors, not bubble, but certainly not free reign? I mean, COVID's changed life for all of us, but walk us through what you were used to in a normal season and what you had to go through here in 2020.
Yeah, it was something obviously that I don't think anybody expected and or B was even prepared for. It was the wild ride of spring training, not knowing what's going to happen, where we're going to be. We thought it was going to be for 2 weeks. I still have a bunch of clothes in an apartment in Tampa that I haven't been able to recover because we just thought we were going to end up going back there, you know, at the end of March and finishing a short camp and back to it. But it was interesting. MLB got a good grip on what they were doing and had a good pace once they kind of worked the kinks out. But it went well. It was the ability to pretty much play pressure-free games, I guess. So being almost 34, you're not really working on anything in particular, but you were able to kind of hone in some of the skills and kind of go from there and watch some younger pitchers develop, which was a cool thing for an organization. I'm sure they look forward to that.
So I was actually down in Dunedin the day that covering Blue Jays training camp when they canceled spring training and I guess the Grapefruit League play. You would have been in Tampa where the Yankees have their facility. So what was that day like and what was the original, I guess, decision? Did you hang out and work out there for a few weeks? Did you immediately head elsewhere? Because we just really didn't know what was happening. The world was changing so much over 24-hour spans. I remember just trying to get back to Canada, worried about traveling through airports and what's going to happen at the border, and am I going to have to quarantine when I get home? I mean, it was chaotic. I can't imagine what you guys went through, not even knowing if and when there'd be a season.
Sure, yeah. So it was the conversation first got started by the general manager, Brian Cashman, and pretty much laid the groundwork and said, let's kind of spend the next 2 days and see how it is. Ownership talked to us and said, let's try to keep the guys here. We don't think it's going to be for more than 2 weeks. So if we can stagger the workouts and have pitchers and catchers come in and then hitters come in at a different time. So we were trying to go that avenue. And then we got a text message the morning it got canceled for good. And the text message said, we need to have an 8 a.m. meeting. And effectively that meeting was everybody pack your stuff up and find their way home now. We don't know how long this is going to be for, and you have to vacate Tampa. It was strange because we had a positive test on the minor league side, so that kind of set some alarms off in the clubhouse because some major league guys were going over there to play in minor league games just to get at bat. But it happened. It just ended so abruptly, and nobody knew what to do. We all felt the same way. Should we rent a car and drive? Should I rent a car and drive home? Should I go through the airport? What does that look like when I get back to New York State? There were so many things that just, it felt, it was uneasing, I think is the right word. And hopefully we never see anything like this again. But just like I said, the abruptness of how it just shut down was something I don't think anybody was ready for. And we're all trying to get answers and we can't get answers. So that kind of took us into, let's call it the second off season.
Yeah, fair enough. And so what are the conversations like with your family at that point? You mentioned chasing around kids. All of a sudden, how's daddy going to get home?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, we were still like, well, we don't know how long this is going to be. Maybe stay in Tampa. And then, I mean, my wife just kind of made an executive decision and said, why wouldn't you just come home and fly down to Tampa if things open back up? Which obviously I think makes the most sense. So I did. I booked a flight that afternoon. Like I said, I left a bunch of stuff at my buddy's apartment in Tampa, and I boogied on a flight. And I got home, and thank goodness I did because of the duration of of the second offseason, let's call it.
So what has it been like being at the alternate site? Are you watching games every night? Are you just focusing on your craft? Is it more a mentorship role? Like, how have you been diving into this?
You know, Ryan, it was a lot of mentorship just because, I mean, we had some older guys there, myself, Matt Duffy, Jordy Mercer, throw some names out there, and we had a lot of young pitchers. So kind of going into the mentorship role, which I think was exciting, we had a lot of like little chalk talks, if you will, which were fun to what it's like to be a Major League Baseball player and how to act, things to do and or not do. So that was an exciting part of that camp, I think, more than anything. It obviously became monotony at times because we're only playing inter-squad games. But the ability to get at bats and get some innings behind the plate was helpful and I think paid dividends to guys when they got called up.
Man, it's a behemoth. I mean, being inside that organization, you know, World Series favorites at the time of spring training, and they had that rough 5-15 stretch. But to watch the Yankees the last 2 weeks, and there's been a lot of that against the Blue Jays, where our attention in Canada is focused for most of the time. Yeah. Like that is a gauntlet when you've got Cole, seems like guaranteed win night, and then that offense that can seemingly pile up double-digit runs on any given night. Did you sort of feel that confidence and the depth of the organization even being at the alternate site?
You did. And I tell you where I really felt it was the second spring training when we went to Yankee Stadium. I'll be honest, Ryan, I wasn't sure if anybody was going to beat this team coming out of the second spring training. Obviously, some injuries happen. You take some big bats out of the lineup. That changes a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Yankees hit that little skid there, you know, a month or so ago. But now that the lineup is stacked again, you're right. I mean, just watching the game last night, they can put 12 up before you even blink. And with Garrett Cole and now Tanaka tonight, I think they, you know, if they stay healthy, they're going to give it a pretty good run.
Kyle Higashioka has been, you know, not a guy that there's been a ton of talk about, given that he plays behind Gary Sanchez. But then this year and against the Blue Jays, he's been a force of nature. We saw him hit 3 home runs out of the 9 hole against the Blue Jays last week. And the guy's hitting like 400 in the last week. He's been a blaze. What can you tell us about the young catcher that the Yankees have behind a guy that we already thought was a pretty darn good catcher?
Well, it's funny because he does get this persona that he's like some 20-year-old kid. Funny enough, Ryan, I think he's 30 or about to be 30.
Come on. Wow.
But he spent a ton of time in the minor leagues, and his power is what got him to the major leagues. And now, as you see the 3 homers, the power is effectively going to keep him there. And then just calling the game with Garrett Cole last night, just watching the nuances of that, I thought were interesting. And you could see the comfort level that Garrett had on the mound, just throwing to him, and they were on the same page, not a whole lot of shaking. So with Garrett Cole's 10-year contract, Higgy could find himself as a real mainstay in New York for a long time.
Well, and that's interesting because you would know about that. You were a guy that was linked with a pitcher and had the ability to catch and call a game for him like no one else could in R.A. Dickey, and Higashioka is now being sort of dubbed the guy that will be Cole's personal catcher. What was that like, and what was your relationship like with R.A., given that how many other guys had such immense difficulty, you know, controlling wild pitches and just keeping the ball in their mitt?
Yeah, I mean, I had the experience with R.A. That's what I always tell people. I was able to, in 2010, go through and fail with him and miss balls when I was in AAA in Buffalo. And you're not in the spotlight, and you're not getting booed every night when you're running to the backstop. So the challenge of catching it, learning how to catch it in the major leagues is obviously, I think, the challenge that most guys had. But the relationship that you end up with when you get put in a role like that is special, because you can, you know, you spend as much time as you can with them, so you're not out there shaking, or you're constantly on the same page. And with a guy like Garrett Cole, for example, who uses an arsenal of pitches versus just a knuckleball, he demands perfection out of himself and the catcher. So you have the ability to spend, you know, 3 or 4 days leading up to the start, getting prepared for the next team. I would imagine probably starting tomorrow, they're going to start going over, as it looks right now, probably Minnesota for round 1 of the playoffs. And they're going to start doing that right now as as a tool to be ahead, and having the guy that is effectively the backup catcher, let's call it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hickey, other than catching maybe a couple more times through this, to the rest of the season, he'll be able to give his all of his focus to Gerrit Cole.
Man, that could be a good ride here for them in the coming month, no question. And that's not a bad guy to be linked to, as you alluded to earlier. Okay, what do you think of the new playoff format? How have you enjoyed anticipating this playoffs? And now that you're starting to see the matchups shape up, and we know there's going to be best of threes played in home parks, then off to the bubbles in Texas and California. Are you excited about it? Are you worried? Have you changed your mind on it at all after first hearing the announcement on a new playoff format?
Well, I definitely changed my mind on it. I'm a little bit old school when it comes to that, and I think there's something to be said about a one-game wild card play-in game and the excitement behind that. But after like spending the last week really diving into it and going through it, I mean, you really put yourself, if your pitching gets hot, any team can win this thing. I mean, as a matter of fact, you could see the Marlins. Who would have thought the Marlins were even going to make the playoffs this year? And now we're seeing them as a spot in the playoffs. And I think I can't relate because I know I enjoy watching hockey, but you being a hockey guy, you could probably say the playoffs are you're really only as good as your goaltender. Is that correct?
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. If you're not going to get saves, you can no chance the hell out of the other team. It just won't matter, right?
Right, and the same concept is in baseball. Like, you're only as good as your starter for that day. I mean, if things come off the rails, you're in trouble. You know, and deep bullpens matter. So I'm really excited to see how this plays out this year. Maybe this is something that stays and gives teams the opportunity to get into the playoffs that really wouldn't have a chance, let's call it.
Josh Toley, former Jays catcher, joining us from upstate New York. Josh, have you followed the Blue Jays? It was a big chapter of your career. Was it just another stop and you don't pay attention? Have you been watching them closely? Like, where are you at on this, roster that's now turned over since you left, and the young guys are now their best players?
Yeah, well, I'm a much of a baseball rat. So this is Blue Jays or not Blue Jays. I spend a lot of time watching the games, going over the box scores in the morning, seeing where, you know, where guys are and where teams are. And, you know, as a matter of fact, like, I mean, Pete Walker is the pitching coach there. I speak with him frequently. There's a lot of guys there that I still stay in touch with, which is nice. So I'm always checking in on them.
And thoughts on their season and what chances they might have in the postseason? They're going to get in, not necessarily because they've been great, but because the teams chasing them have been so bad. Like, they got blown out last night, but Seattle lost, so their magic number is down to two. How do you like the roster, and where do they need to get results in order to survive one of the high seeds they'll face in round one?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, as we talked before, I think the pitching is going to be a big piece of it. You can't constantly lean on Ryu to put the team on the back and take off. So I think the starting pitching is going to have to really step up more than anything. I think the young energy in the bats can get hot at any time, and I think the lineup is deep with a bunch of young talented guys that enjoy playing the game and find ways to get hits. I mean, I think Biggio, is watching him play is exciting as anybody, to be honest.
Have you enjoyed the NFL season? I know that you spent a bunch of time being associated with New York, but you're not necessarily from there. You do live in upstate. Like, do you have a team? How have you enjoyed the start of that season?
Well, I used to live in Denver, so I was a big Broncos fan. And the guy that I trained with in the offseason was a strength coach for the Broncos. So I really just adapted the Broncos at the time. But living in New York, we don't you're either a Bills fan or a Jets or a Giants fan, but but right now I do fantasy football. I love fantasy football, and what I love to do is I try to pick one game that I'm going to follow for the week, and that's kind of is what I do. Like, this week, the Chiefs Ravens game is something that really stands out to me. I'm fired up to watch this game. It's two good teams going at it, and two pretty good offenses. So. Like I said, I dabble in the fantasy football quite a bit, and there's a lot of talk around here about the Bills and everything else. But
sure.
But for the most part, that's where I kind of put my energy and time is my fantasy football.
Oh, we're the exact same. We've got a station league, which, you know, there's a little bit of prize money there. But really, when you've got, you know, 14 guys that all work in sports media, you're going to hear publicly whether your team's good or bad. It's really about bragging rights, as I suppose it is in many leagues. It's about bragging rights with buddies or winning a beer over someone else. Never mind the cash prize at the end, but we have instituted a free agent auction bid rather than just a waiver priority. So you got to bid dollars and the people are going crazy. I love waking up Wednesday morning. The first thing I do is check my phone for who blew their brains out on the free agent auction bid. Do you guys have the same thing with $100 a year to spend on the waiver wire or what?
Well, so this year, in the past year, so the last 5 years, I've been in Troy Tulowinski's league.
Okay.
And that's what Tulo does is you get $100 in the pot and that's the highest bid, exactly what you're talking about. Well, this
sure.
year we threw together at the alternate site a quick ESPN league.
Okay.
And I had mentioned to do the $100 and no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Well, last week I think they finally changed it. My team
yeah,
is loaded,
fair
so enough. I haven't even sniffed the waiver wire yet. But I think the guys made the adjustment, and now it just appears that the guys love it. I think that's the best way to do it,
yeah,
to be honest with you. And you find out you can't blow it up in week two or three. You have to piece it all together, and when you're going to need defenses, there's so much strategy behind it when you have that kind of waiver wire is what makes it fun and interesting, and that's what keeps the banter going more than anything.
Okay, so who is the savant Major League Baseball GM in either the alternate site league or maybe a name we'd know from Tulo's league? Like, give us some goods here. And who's the deadbeat that's starting guys on bye weeks and things like that?
I would say the best. I mean, Tulo is as good as they come when it comes to knowing like roster breakdowns, and I mean, he would just school everybody in the draft because he would know. I don't know if he had inside information or what, or he knew Adam Schefter or whoever, but he knew somebody that he was getting so much intel, he was able to just kill it. And he was always, you know, he was always going to the championship in his league. I finally asked him if it was rigged, but he's as good as anybody. Now on the flip of the coin, the catching coordinator for the Yankees, he's never done fantasy football, and this year he did it. And this guy, he started to hurt guy. He started, and I'm trying to help the guy. Like, hey, why are you starting this guy? Well, I don't know. Nobody told me I had to take him out of the lineup. I said, well, they're not going to do it for you. You got to manage your team. So you get both ends of the spectrum, which is fun. But again, that's what keeps the banter going, and that's what athletes like ourselves. That's what we like. You know, we love the banter going back and forth.
It's all about the chirps for sure. Josh, it's been great catching up. Let's do it again soon. Enjoy that Chiefs-Ravens game on Monday. I've already written it on the family calendar on the wall. I said, Dad has a meeting on Monday night. That meeting happens to be with beers,
yeah,
wings,
Dad
the Ravens, and the Chiefs.
Dad has a meeting at the golf course. It's exactly
right. Thanks, man.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate it. And anytime, I love doing this. So feel free to reach out.
Well, there'll be what? I think 8 playoff games starting Monday, so we'll have some important baseball to talk about real quick. We won't hesitate to call you. Thanks, man.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ryan.
Josh Tolley.